You're tuned in to the Voice of the Gospel, 88.1 FM, beaming the gospel in three states to over 100,000 listeners, 70,000 watts of continuous gospel power, KAYT 88.1 FM.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatin. Stay tuned and focused. And let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. We thank God. Psalm number 23. And so we want to read just two verses, verses 4 and 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Come on. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. Amen. And I got a thought this morning, but my thought is more of a question. So I'm going to need you all to help me preach it from the top to the bottom. Amen. So I want you to look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor this question. Say, neighbor, what's the deal about through? Amen. I'm glad you asked. What's the deal about through? Amen. Because when we talk about through, when you meet people, most of the time they're saying, you know, I went through some things. Or they may say, you know, I'm going through some things. Or if they have some spiritual insight, they may say, I feel the need to pray because I'm about to go through some things. And so there are three types of people. Having said that, I'm going to say it again this way so somebody will get it. There are three types of people. Either there are people that are going through right now, there are people who just came through before, or there are people who are about to go through. And I was talking to Pastor Williams, and he was asking me, we was talking about this, and I said, you know, it just dropped in my spirit. You know, what's so bad about through? We need through. You need through. The reason we need through is because in order to get to, you must go through. Amen. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? It's going to be a short message, I see. And so God was instructing me. He says that you need to encourage the committed that even though they may go through, that I'm still with you. Amen. A lot of rhyming this morning. God, I see he got it on this morning. Amen. And so when we look at Psalm number 23, I'm going to get to it. And he says, David wrote this psalm, and it is uncertain when he wrote it. We just know that it was David that wrote it. Perhaps he wrote it when he was in the Valley of Elah. Or perhaps he wrote it when he was in between the mountains and he was facing Goliath in that valley. Amen. Or perhaps he wrote it when he was on the run from Saul. Or maybe it was when Absalom, his own son, came up against him to destroy and to kill him and to take his kingdom. Or maybe it was during another time when he was going through some things when his son died while he, right at birth, while he was praying and fasting and asking the Lord to give his son life. Amen. Or maybe he wrote it in his old age after he had looked and saw all that he'd been through. He realized if it had not been for the Lord on his side, he wouldn't be where he was. Amen. I don't know when David wrote it, but I can certainly see the things that David went through, and I can apply them to my very own life. Sometimes you go through things whereas you're in a valley all alone in the Valley of Elah. Sometimes you're in a place where you're fighting an enemy that seems to be bigger than you and challenging you to come out and fight. Amen. That's Goliath. Sometimes you can be in a place where a person that you've done all you can do for them and help them as much as you can, if you've been loyal to them, and they turn around and throw a javelin at you and they're trying to hunt you down, run you down. Come on and say, man, that was Saul. Or maybe it's somebody of your own house, somebody that's your own blood that decided they want to try to hurt you and inflict pain upon you. Can you imagine the things that David might have went through in order just to pen this psalm? But one thing that David didn't do was complain. He said, I'm going through. Amen. The one good thing about going through is not just that you get to, but you're just going through. It's not that you're going to stay there. It's not that I'm going to camp out here. It's not that I'm going to always, always be going through. Come on and say amen. And so when David wrote this song, I want to bring out three things. I want to bring out 3 points in those two verses that will help you, 3 things that will encourage you, 3 things that I want to show you that's written right there in the text, and we just got to bring them out. Amen. And so when David wrote this, we understand that David himself was a shepherd. So David understood what a shepherd does. He understood how a shepherd lived. Amen. He understood how a shepherd and his sheep has a relationship. Amen. When I was in Israel, we ran up on this shepherd. And he had a bunch of sheep, and he had a guy who happened to be a Messianic Jew. He walked up and he said, watch this. He said, I'm going to show you something. And he began to call the sheep, and the sheep didn't move. But then the shepherd, he started to call them, and all of a sudden they ran up to him and gathered all around him. I mean, they were all up on him, all around, crowding him to where he couldn't even move. And he reached in his little shepherd bag, and he pulled out a piece of bread. And while he pulled it out, there was one sheep. He got up on him and just he snatched it out of his hand. And he told him, get back, get down. But the thing was that caught my attention was that the sheep didn't move when the other man called him. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger, they won't follow. Now they wouldn't follow that man, but they knew the voice of the shepherd. But they knew if I can get close enough, I might get a reward. I might get some bread. Oh, my God, here. When we get close enough to God, God will feed us. Amen. He will feed us with the bread of life. Hallelujah. And the thing was, the rest of the sheep, they just crowded around. But the sheep that got the bread, he put his feet up on him. He got so close, he didn't think that it was too much to get up on the shepherd. You see, sometimes as a child of God or as people who are led as sheep, amen, by God, we can't think it's too much to get up on him. We can't think it's too much to get as close as we can to him. We can't think it's too much that when he calls, we come running. Oh, my God. Some of us, we don't move when God calls us. We don't make the appointments that God has for us. We don't do what God wants us to do. We do what we want to do. Come on and say amen. But one thing I realize is that when you understand what it's like to be a shepherd, you understand sheep. And what David understood was, if it hadn't been for the shepherd leading him the whole time when he didn't know what was going on, then he would have been destroyed. Oh, yeah, we got to understand that the shepherd, the chief shepherd, knows what's going on. And if we don't see what's going on and don't really understand what's going on, we need to trust the leadership of our shepherd, because he knows where the water is still. He knows where the valley, come on and say amen. He knows where we need to be at the time that we need to be. Amen. He said that he'll lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, he's reliable. He got a good name. Come on and say amen. And since he has a good name and he's reliable, I need to trust him that he'll get me to where I need to be. We've been trusting in people too much. We've been trusting into our own intuition. Oh, come on and say amen. We've been trusting into what others think too much. But when you trust in the shepherd, he always gets you to a place that you need to be in. And sometimes that place is not where we want to be, but it's where we need to be. Come on and say amen. Now, so I don't bore you too much, when we look at this, we got to understand that he said that he was talking about the Lord being with him, right? About the Lord Let's look at the first verse. I knew it was going to happen. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. So David starts out talking about God. Amen. He talks about the Lord. Now, if you're a student of the Bible, you study that word Lord. It is the word Jehovah. Amen. Jehovah. And it is believed that this word is made up of three tenths of the Hebrew verb, which means to be. You got that? And the word, or the first word, or the first tense is Yehi, which means he will be. So it means the future. The second one being presented is Hov. Hov, which means being, which means that he is present. All right? Then Haya, which means that he was, or it means the past. Amen. He's the God that is, that shall be, and that is to come. Amen. He's the God that was, that is, and that will come. Come on and say amen. And so when you take the first letter of the first word, Yehi, the first two letters, and then you take the middle two letters of Hov, O-V, then you take the last two of the last tense, Ah, so you get the word Yehovah. So that means the one who in the present, past, and in the future, he's the one that leads you no matter where you are. In your past, guess what? He was there. In your present, guess what? He's here right now. And in your future, he's waiting on you. So what are you waiting on? So you might as well quit complaining and go through to get to where he is right now. So the Lord guided him. So David said in verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, when David said yea, he was going on to explain the things that he had been dealing with. And he was talking about God. He was beginning to start to feel good because he talked about what God had done for him. He began to say how he leaded him and how he restored him. He talked about all those things. And he got to verse 4 and he said, yay. You know, sometimes that's what happened when you say, yeah, buddy. That's what he really meant. Yeah. It's good to know that God was with me through all of that. And he begins to say, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, if it was some dim and grim experience that he was recollecting and reflecting on in his mind, if it was dim and grim, he wouldn't have said, yay. He would have said, man. Whew. So David was saying, yay. In other words, when I thought about all that I've been through, it didn't make me sad. That's what some of us get it wrong at. If we're going to testify, your testimony shouldn't bring you to an all-time low. It should make you feel like, yes, I was down, but yeah, God brought me up. The devil thought he had me, but yeah, he reached down. God reached down and grabbed me. Oh, come on and say amen. Jesus will pick you up if he has to reach what? Way down. We need to know that he picked me up out of the miry clay and placed my feet on a what? Rock to stay. I came to encourage you to let you know that there's something good about going through. So what's the deal about going through? The first thing he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, when he says that, we need to understand that he found God's presence while he was going through. While you're going through, you need to understand that God is present with you. He's right there with you at the time that you're going through. You need to know today that God will reveal himself in a way while you're going through that you might not have seen him before. Amen? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though death is there, even though destruction is possible, even though I can come to my demise, God won't let it happen because he'll bring me to deliverance. I'll preach anyway. He says, look, he said, though I walk through the valley in a low spot, I'm in a low, an all-time low of the shadow of death. Now, a shadow, we understand, is a silhouette. The shadow, we understand, is there because if you got light, then you got a shadow. Amen? You got a substance. If you got a substance and you got light shining on it, then there's a shadow. If you take all the light away, then there's no shadow. That's just darkness. Come on and say amen. And so we understand that God is what? Light. And if God is light, that means that while he was in the valley, then God was in the valley with him. Oh, my God. That means that if he was in the valley, then God's light shined upon him, even when he didn't feel like it, when he knew that I'm at an all-time low. But that doesn't mean that I don't have an on-time God. Lord, help me preach this, somebody. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, David understood that this that I'm going through is not what I'm going to be going through continually. Basically, David was understanding that the things that I'm going through, that my condition is not my conclusion. My complications is not going to keep me from getting the promise or getting to the place where God wants me to be. And sometimes in life you have complications. Sometimes you have things that you could complain about, but you need to say that I won't complain. I had some good days, some bad days. I had some hills to climb. But when I look around and think things over, all of my good days, I weigh my bad days, and I won't complain. We got to see God's presence while we are in the valley. While you're going through, you need to look for God. I'm going through this, but where's God in all of this? God is right there. There's something. There had to be a substance. There had to be something blocking his view for a moment. But he knew the fact that even though this stuff is blocking my view, I can still see that God is over all of that. God is overshadowing this whole situation. God is overshadowing this whole condition that I found myself in. Anytime, and I want you to understand that anytime that you're in a valley, there's always a mountain. And when the mountain, when the sun is going down, the sun goes down behind a mountain, you can't see it, but you can see the rays of the sun, and you can also see the shadow of the mountain. And David, being in the valley, he was saying, look, I'm in this valley, and I can't see the sun, but I know it's shining on the other side. And so what I'm trying to say is that God is right there, even though you may feel as though you can't see him like you want to see him. But God is still shining. God is still on the other side. But what you got to do in order to see, you got to come around the mountain. You got to keep going through. You can't just say, well, I guess I'll just sit here and I'll complain and cry my eyes out. My heart's been broken. I feel so bad. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You know what? You need to get up and say, this is not for me to stay here. I got to keep on moving. I got to keep pressing my way. I got to keep pushing. Come on and say amen until I get out of the valley. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Then he says this, I will fear no evil. There's a reason why I fear no evil. We got to quit fearing evil. Fearing evil, it puts us in a place of sin. You know why? Because anything that is not faith is sin. So fear is the opposite of faith. If you got fear in you, then you have no faith. If you have faith in you, then there's absolutely no fear. Oh, come on and say amen. Y'all don't want to believe that, but it's true. When we look at this, we got to understand now that the presence of God is with you, because look at, he said, for thou art what? With me. Now, when he said with me, first off, until this point, David had been talking in third person. He was describing his journey in third person. Come on and say amen. He said that he is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me beside still water. He restores my soul. He talked in what? Third person. Come on and say amen. But then all of a sudden, he drops the third person for the second. Lord, help me here. He drops the third person for the second person singular. Come on and say amen. And he said, thou art. Thou. He started talking about thou, and no longer is he talking about the shepherd, but now he's talking to the shepherd. Now, that gives us something that we really need to consider here. We need to consider this while we're going through. You may be talking about what God has done for you. You may be remembering what God is doing and had done in your life, but then you need to stop talking about him because he's with you and realize that I need to start talking to him. While I'm in this valley, Lord, I know that you're my source of my strength. You're the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Come on, somebody, and say amen. You need to start talking talking to the Lord, amen? And when we start talking to the Lord, then it brings him closer to us. Because instead of it being a monologue about who God, you know, God has done this, now it becomes a dialogue. God, you see me here, and I need you, and I know that you're able to deliver, and so I'm going to trust you as I walk through this. Come on and say amen. When we look at many of our old songs, we got to understand that many of them talked about going through. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim what? Through this barren land. God will deliver. He'll take us through some things if we let him take us through those things. He said that God was right there what? With me, amen. He stopped talking about God and start talking to God. And that's the problem with many of us. We talk about God, but we don't really talk to God like we need to. While you're going through, you need to stop talking about God. Because what he did yesterday, thank God for what he did, but you need to start talking to him about what he's about to do. Well, God, what do you want me to, you want me to stand right here? Okay, I stand right here. You want me to look down that way? I'll look that way until you direct me. And the Bible even tells us that he will guide us with his eye. Now, if you don't have your eye on him, how are you going to see his eye? Oh, my God. I can look right now. I can look. I don't care what my children are. I can look at them, and I can make a motion with my eyes, and they know exactly what I mean. Oh, come on and say amen. If you guide them with your eye, we can look at God, and God will guide us with his eye. I need to keep my focus on the shepherd. Amen. He says, thou art what? With me. Amen. We need to know that God is with us, and we need to talk to him while he's with us. Don't act as though God is not with you. Don't act and consider everything else that's going on with you, and rather than considering God who is right there with you. God will not let you go in something by yourself and knowing that you're going to fall, knowing that you're not going to make it out. God will go in with you. Come here, three Hebrew boys. Even though they were about to be thrown into the fiery furnace, God had already made provisions for them. He had already went in the fire and told the fire, let me tell you something, I got three boys that's coming in here and you can't touch them. Oh, come on and say amen. So he went in with them or before them. Remember, God is the past, present, and the what? Future. He had already decided that on this day, fire won't be able to hurt those boys. Come on and say amen. And so the same goes for your life. God is saying on this day, it's some things that you're going through that won't be able to touch you, but it's to teach those things that these people are able to go through and give them a testimony so somebody else will trust the shepherd to bring them through. Do I have anybody that's listening this morning? What's the deal about through? Tell you what the deal is about through. When you look at what he did, he said that thy rod and thy staff, they what? Comfort me. So not only do I have the presence of God, but then I have evidence of his protection. Oh my God. He said, not only do I have the present, but now I got the protection. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. When we look at the word rod, amen, we got to understand that the rod also means the ruling. How God rules. Oh, come on and say amen. How God measures, or it also means the writing. It also means the stick of punishment. And so what David was saying was that the father, or the shepherd, which happened to be the father, has a shebet, which is a rod. And that rod is not only there for protection, but look at this. He said, because when a lion or a bear comes in to try to take a lamb from the flock, the shepherd has, or maybe it's a wolf. Amen. Because when the wolf comes, the shepherd got a rod for the wolf that he pops him upside the head. Come on and say, man, he whips him. Get him out of here. Amen. But that's what he has him for. But not only that, but he has it just so he can tap to guide the sheep. Come on and say amen. And sometimes God will tap you to get your attention. Oh, come on and say amen. While you're going through, you're not paying attention to what God is saying. God said, look at me. You look, okay. You got my attention now. And so what he has, he gives us what? Protection. But look at this. Not only does the rod means protection, but here's David. We got to understand he was a devout Jew. He was a devout Hebrew man. And when he thought about a rod, he had to think about the most famous rod. The most famous rod that we can mention is the rod of Moses. The most famous rod of Moses, it was a rod that when Moses threw it down, it was able to turn into a serpent and eat up the snakes or the serpents, the enchantments of Egypt. Come on and say amen. It was a rod that when he carried it and he stretched it forth over the Red Sea, that it was able to cause the Red Sea to part so that they can all go over on dry land. I wish I had somebody. And so David begins to remember, Lord, as long as you're with me, I'm comforted by knowing that no matter what I find in this valley, even if it's a snake, that your rod is good enough to defend me. Come on. Even if it's some enchantment that the enemy tried to bring my way, some kind of serpentine thing that might come my way, that your rod is powerful enough to deal with it. Oh, come on and say amen. Even though while I'm in the valley, if I get to a place where I look like this thing can drown me, even if it looks like I'm in over my head, all I need is your rod to be stretched forth, and when your rod stretches forth, it parts whatever it is that's there. I wish I had somebody, because what David basically was saying, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Do I have anybody here that realizes that if it had not been for the rod of God, you would be drowned in your condition? If it hadn't been for the rod of God, then the devil would have overtaken you right then. But thank God for his protection. Thank God for the rod. The rod. Hallelujah. We thank God for his rod. His protection. Amen. But not only that, he said, and his what? Staff, they comfort me. It's the staff of the shepherd. The staff of the shepherd that David recognizes as a source of protection also. Because when you talk about a staff, if a sheep was to fall in that land in Israel, there's plenty of places where the sheep, they actually hang out on side the mountain and they graze. And sometimes they live in caves and they fall into cliffs and they'll have trouble trying to get themselves out. And so there is, on the end of the staff, there's a crook. So that if a sheep so happens to fall in a crevice of life, then the shepherd could just take his staff and just let it down in the crack and pull the sheep up. Do I have any witnesses? He's saying that even if I fall in a place that I don't want to be in, you're still there to lift me up out of whatever I get myself into. Sometimes we wander off and get caught up in some junk that we shouldn't have wandered off in anyway, but the shepherd's staff is there to pull us out just before trouble arrives, just before destruction happens. I wish I had somebody. But the staff, David being a great Hebrew boy himself, David thought about the staff and he remembered the staff of Jacob. The Bible said that Jacob worshiped the Lord leaning upon his staff. I wish I had somebody here. What that means here is that the way that I get protection from God is to remember to worship him in the time of trouble, in the time of my situation. I need to know how to worship God through my situation. When I'm going through, that's when I worship you. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, come on. I'll praise you. Amen. While I'm dealing with my situation, praise is what I do even when I'm going through. Oh, come on. Praise him in advance. Oh, come on. The devil don't stand a chance when you begin to worship God while you're going through. Do I have any witnesses in here today? Am I preaching too fast for you? Y'all looking at me like I'm talking from Africa or something. Come on and say man here. We got to understand that God will protect us, and while you're going through, not only will you have God's presence, but you will have God's what? Protection, because he said that rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And oftentimes when we preach that, we say that his rod will whip us and that his staff will get us and he can use his staff against us. But that doesn't sound like comfort to me. But what it sounds like is that God makes sure that when the sheep, when they see that crook, they know that there is that crooked staff, that there's an opportunity there, that if I fall, that the shepherd will come get me. Jesus said that the shepherd would leave the 99 and go get the one. preach anyway. And so when I think about that, I realize that if I get lost trying to get to him, then he'll already meet me and pull me out of whatever I'm going through. I wish I had somebody here. And then he says, not only that, but then we go on, not only will God's presence be with you while you're going through these things that you should see while you're going through. You should see God's presence and you should see God's protection. But not only that, in verse 5, you'll find out that you'll see that God has provisions for you while you're going through. Look at this. Thou preparest a table before